the show. He is from Goal.com. He is the number one man that we have bring on to talk all things Mexican football. It is, of course, Eric Gomez joining us here on World Football Daily. Eric, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show, mate. It's been a bit of a while since we've had you on. How are you doing today, man? Thanks for coming on.
Doing good, doing better than Chepo de la Torre, if that's a consolation. So
I think he can't be too down. He just can't be that up either. He's got to be a pretty flat kind of 1 point level at the moment here. Plenty of draws for the Mexican national team and another two goalless ones against Panama and Costa Rica in the last two World Cup qualifiers. Where is this Mexican side going wrong? We've spoken to you about it before, but is anything changing and now failing, or is it the same failure?
Yeah, it's the same failure, and I think that is what is most troubling, not just for Mexican fans, but also for media and for the Mexican national team itself. It looks like this team has run out of ideas. They've gone 282 minutes without scoring a goal at Azteca, which is just absolutely pitiful. And if you compound that with the fact that they have not been able to get consistent results away from home as well, the one win against Jamaica being the exception to the rule, and not being able to score goals, three goals exactly, in six games, then it does become an alarming measure. And right now, the issue is that Chepo de la Torre has kind of an unofficial quota in front of him to be able to keep his job. If Mexico do not do well at this Confederations Cup and get out of the first round, Mexico are going to be looking for a new coach.
I mean, it started so well under Torre. Well, it didn't start amazingly well, but it's gone so well until 2013, really, under him. You know, plenty of wins. I think just three losses since the end of 2011 for this Mexican national side. If people just found out Mexico and found out how to play against this team.
Yeah, that's an excellent hypothesis, and I think that one is true. I think that 37 matches in total, to be quite exact, with Chepo, in which he's only lost three games. So on paper, it looks ridiculous to think about firing him. But the truth of the matter is, this team has not been the same since the 2011 Gold Cup. I think Mexico, as a country, were blinded by the triumph in London last year at the Olympics. And we've all kind of seemed to have forgotten that that was a different team. That was a U-23 team playing against other U-23 teams, coached by a different guy, who in essence, although he is an assistant coach for the senior team, is not the person making these final decisions. I mean, that is Chepo. And teams have really figured out that this team only has a couple of different styles of play in order to generate offense, and that is to go out onto the wings with Andrés Guardado and to go out onto the right wing with Javier Aquino. And the other thing is, when they do play Giovanni Dos Santos up the middle, is to just basically let him do whatever he can. So since both of those strategies are not working at the moment, it's only got one person to blame, and that is Chepo de la Torre, and the fact that he has not adapted to his rivals the way that his rivals have adapted to him.
Why has De La Torre not changed this? Is it a stubborn attitude that's in him? He's a young manager, all things considered.
The fact that he has not adapted to his rivals the way that his rivals have adapted to him.
Why has De La Torre not changed this? Is it a stubborn attitude that's in him? He's a young manager, all things considered. When you look at a lot of international managers, you'd have thought he'd have that kind of brain to switch things around, especially with youthful exuberance almost on his side in management.
He's young and he's successful. He's won three league titles in Mexico, and he's a guy that really kind of burst onto the scene. Started his career as an assistant coach for one of Mexico's former national team managers, Manuel Lapuente. From then on, he took on Chivas. Chivas, of course, being a very, very difficult team to coach for anybody. And under Jorge Vergara, he's the only person who has ever delivered a league title to that fan base. Went over to Toluca, won two other league titles, and took on this challenge over here at the Mexican national team. So, yeah, I mean, you would think that he would be able to switch things around, but he is, as you said, very stubborn. He's a person who lives and dies by his ideals. I think that his mindset, and he's said this a couple of times, I mean, if we were able to win out in the last round of qualifying, and if we were able to win the 2011 Gold Cup the way that we did, why isn't this working now? Well, I think the answer is right in front of his face. And as we mentioned, well, teams have had 2 years to adjust to his tactics, and he has been, I think, a little, I guess, just not mindful that other teams might be able to do this. So the moment that he's able to say, well, you know what, this might not, if it's not working against Costa Rica and Panama and Jamaica and the United States and Honduras, then it's probably not going to work against Brazil or Italy or Japan. And I think that is the boon and the added challenge that he has in front of him right now. If he's able to do that against those big teams in the Confederations Cup, then confidence will be renewed and this team will be a lot different as we move into the September qualifiers.
But would it not be also the perfect time, as we have, as you say, the Confederations Cup going on? There's also the CONCACAF Gold Cup as well for Mexico to play in. Would you not see these as being the best time to test things out, to test changes without it hindering a World Cup qualification spot? Because Mexico is starting to back themselves into a corner where they've got to start winning out in the hexagonal.
Ideally, yes. But I think that the way that Mexico qualified to this tournament, the fact that it's so near and dear to so many Mexican hearts, and the Confederations Cup was the first official FIFA tournament which Mexico ever won back in 1999. I think a lot of fans are really eager, and it's been sort of a kind of a mini World Cup for Mexican fans over the course of these last couple of decades to find out how good or how bad your team is doing. After the 2001 Confederations Cup, Enrique Mesa was fired because he just was not able to get a single point out of that particular tournament. Not only that, but then he went on to lose at Azteca against Costa Rica, the only time that has ever happened, and he was fired. In 2005, Ricardo La Volpe, the current manager at that time, took the team into the semifinals and just really displaying some champagne football. I think that it was just one of Mexico's high points in the last 20 years or so. And he went on to make the World Cup without a hitch. This is just a huge test for Chepo La Torre because, like I've mentioned before, these Confederation Cup squads have been pretty consistent with the way that they've been doing in other tournaments. If he's not able to put something together, then there's no reason for anybody to suspect that it will change during the qualifying run. So maybe not experiment per se, just to find out what works, because we know what doesn't work, but you need to make those tweaks.
Well, what happens if De La Torre doesn't change things, and it does work, against the bigger sides, against Italy, against Brazil, against Japan? Would that relieve someone like yourself? Would that give you, as you say, the new confidence to go into the final games of the hexagonal? Or would that worry you that things won't therefore be changed in the hexagonal and we could end up seeing more of the same?
Well, I mean, it's no question at all that Brazil and Italy and even Japan, those three teams are more talented, I would say, than at least four of the six teams in the hexagonal. No disrespect to them. They've done a fantastic job, except for Jamaica to this point. but it's still three teams that don't see you every year, that don't get to play against you every year, that don't know necessarily what you're going to be able to dish out on the pitch because they're not in tune with your tactics. I mean, I wouldn't put it past a guy like Luis Felipe Scolari over in Brazil or Cesare Prandelli over in Italy to be studying up on Mexico and to be watching game film of these matches. But it still doesn't really kind of make it a fact that they will be able to stop and stifle Mexico the same way that Costa Rica, Panama, and Jamaica did over the last week, simply because they don't have them as a reference in their regions. I mean, they're worried about other things. I think Italy and Brazil have their style of play that they're going to try and roll out onto the Confederations Cup pitches, no matter who the opposition is. So, no, I mean, I don't think I would be okay with Mexico pulling out these big results, playing the same way against Brazil or Italy, because it doesn't tell me anything going towards the next qualifying matches.
Tell me, Eric, then, do you think that De La Torre's job is really going to be decided on what happens after the Confederations, or will he definitely be given the chance to finish up the World Cup qualification process before they maybe think about axing the Mexican manager?
Mexico does not get out of the group stage in the Confederations Cup. And again, there's several ways that that can happen. You know, I mean, we've seen teams in the World Cup get 6 points out of nine and be eliminated from their groups. Whenever you go into a situation where you only have three matches to show, that you're able to get into the next round. It's going to be very difficult no matter who the opposition is. But if Mexico loses two of their three games, if they lose one, if they draw another, and you know, again, no disrespect to them, but if they're able to beat, say, Japan, I don't think that that is enough for Mexican national team officials. I think that he will be fired. Mexico are able to get to the semifinals and are able to show not only the media and fans, but the rest of the world that they're able to do something differently on that big of a world stage, then I think he'll move on and be able to finish the qualifying stage, and we'll go from there. But it's very, very troubling, very difficult right now.
It's hanging in the balance for Mexico, and obviously having that game in hand over everybody apart from Jamaica in the hexagonal is a worrying place to be in, with Panama 2 points behind and Honduras a point behind. Who's the biggest threat out of those two to knock Mexico down into that playoff spot, or even potentially could both of these two knock them out and leave Mexico floundering without even the playoff opportunity to go into the World Cup?
Well, I think Panama has been way more consistent in this hexagonal. I think that ever since I saw them in the last round of qualifying, I pictured them being in Brazil 2014, because they found a level of consistency and they found a different mentality under Deli Valdez that you just don't see out of Panama usually. They have some good players. They have players that, you know, the MLS and the Liga MX have just been too kind for Central America and for the rest of that region, just to be able to give players an opportunity to play in relatively high level club, at a relatively high club level, but still be able to stay within the region. So Panama, despite the fact that they are so consistent, I would still peg Honduras to be that bigger threat for Mexico, just because there's a bigger rivalry there, because Honduras always seems to go out and do their best against Mexico, no matter what the situation. They've always been tough on Mexico when they go to the Estadio Azteca. Mexico were able to pull out a draw against them in Honduras, but that doesn't mean that they will not march in to the Estadio Azteca and do what every other team has done, which is park the bus and be able to draw out a point from them. Mexico needs to win out at the Azteca. They need those 6 points, and they have to play precisely against Panama and Honduras. So no matter who is in third place or who is in fourth place at this point, it's going to be very difficult for Mexico to win out, because it's those two teams.
It's funny how at the beginning of the hexagonal round we spoke about how your away games and picking up the odd points on the away games are the important ones. It's now picking up the points at home for Mexico that is the big difference in the hexagonal round. Just finally, Eric, before we go, we have to quickly touch on the US men's national team. How impressed have you been in their kind of bounce back, three games on the trot now after the big loss to Belgium in that friendly, and a disappointing performance still against Germany in that friendly as well, but to go to Jamaica and to scrap out a win and then to get a comfortable 2-0 win against Panama, and they are now in control of this hexagonal round and their destiny. How impressed are you with Jürgen Klinsmann after all the flack that he's taken over the last few months, especially with the build-up to that Costa Rica game?
Yeah, I think bounce back is the word to describe it. This team was very much criticized going up into that Costa Rica game, playing against Mexico 4 days later back in March, and after they were able to get 4 points out of that, things just kind of quieted down, and they've been able to do their thing. They've been able to develop a certain style of play that still hasn't found a main cast of characters. There's still a lot of tinkering going on with that lineup, but whatever Klinsmann has done is working at this point. I think that he's found confidence in his base of players and in the regular 25 to 30 guys that you see called up into the U.S. camp every now and then. And they're in the driver's seat once more. You know, it's funny to think that three qualifying games ago, people were in the position that Mexican fans are right now. Some people were asking for Klinsmann's head if he was not able to deliver in the snow against Costa Rica and at Azteca. They'll be in Brazil. You know, the U.S. is going to be in Brazil 2014, that's a fact. Their chances have just kind of skyrocketed after they've been able to take care of business at home, and they've been able to go out into opposing stadiums and get points. So Klinsmann is a guy that I think is, out of the six managers right now, the one that is sleeping the most soundly. When we move into the final games of qualifying and after this Gold Cup, which will be kind of a display case for the U.S. and Mexico's B teams, but everybody else will be bringing their A team, we'll see the U.S. kind of push towards that final stretch of games and stamp their authority on CONCACAF. It wouldn't surprise me if the U.S. finishes first. And I think what that will do for their confidence is just absolutely put it skyward as we move into Brazil 2014. And Klinsmann has been very adamant about choosing, you know, difficult opponents for their friendly matches moving forward. I think that that's not an alien concept. We did see that with Bruce Arena. We did see that with Bob Bradley. But the way that the United States is increasingly matched up to these teams, Belgium notwithstanding, it's very troubling for the rest of that region and very troubling for the rest of the world to see the U.S. do so well. I, for one, am very happy to see them do so well. And I think that this is not, you know, this is not a trend. I think that it'll continue throughout the next 2, 3, 4 years if they give Klinsmann a chance to move on with this project. Here's hoping that they do.
Eric, it's fantastic to hear on World Football Daily a positive voice regarding the U.S. men's national team, as opposed to Rafa that is always, always having a pop, whatever they do. I'm sure when he joins me later on the show, he will be showing his dismay at a 2-0 win against Panama. But thank you so much for joining us today, Eric. It's a pleasure to chat all things hexagonal round with you. And of course, we will be chatting with you as the hexagonal round continues in September. And obviously, when Liga MX kicks off again in July, mate, you must be looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And we'll be here anytime you need us.
We will chat soon, I'm sure. Eric Gomez from Goal.com there joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things hexagonal round and Mexican football especially.